السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المتحابون بجلالي لهم منابر من نور يغبطهم النبيون والشهداء. وكما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدني علما. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما ينفعنا، آمين يا رب العالمين. أما بعد، my dear respected brothers and elders and sisters who are listening, I greet you again in the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and via the medium of Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to live a life in a certain way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for us to develop in ourselves those qualities which He loves. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most high, the most mighty, the most wise, the most knowledgeable, He has the most perfect of qualities. He has the most perfect of names, the most perfect of attributes and qualities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for us to live our lives in a way that we also incorporate into our lives from the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. And many a times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran about His maghfirah and about His rahmah, His forgiveness and about His mercy. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay." My mercy encompasses everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah encompasses, covers everything. Nothing is outside the scope of Allah's mercy. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a hadith Qudsi. Hadith Qudsi is a hadith which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is narrating to us. However, these are words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is speaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, "Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi," that my rahmah always overcomes my anger. My mercy always overcomes my anger. And subhanallah, yesterday I was reciting a verse of the Quran and I was just contemplating upon it. The last verse of Surah Al-Furqan. The ayat is now coming to my mind. From this ayat, subhanallah, I was pondering, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the last ayat of Surah Al-Furqan, last ayat of Surah Al-Furqan, you know, when we recite the Quran, we need to contemplate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we reveal these ayat in the Quran, لِيَتَدَبَّرُوا وَلِيَتَفَكَّرُوا. So you don't just read them. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, when you recite the Quran, your intention shouldn't be, I want to get to the end of the surah, or I want to get to the end of the para. Many times when we're reciting the Quran, our only aim and our only goal is, I need to get to the end of the surah. I need to get to the end of the para so I can finish, so I can say I've recited this. So then Abdullah bin Mas'ud says, this is the wrong way to recite the Quran. Your mind should not be occupied in when is it going to end. When is the surah going to finish? When is the juz going to finish? Rather, each ayat, Allah Ta'ala wants you to ponder and reflect. And if a person reflects upon the Qur'an, subhanAllah, the secrets of Allah's being, the secrets of Tawheed, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is the creator, these things open up unto a person. So the last ayat of Surah Al-Furqan, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ فَقَدْ كَذَّبْتُمْ فَسَوْفَ يَكُونُ لِزَامًا. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي. I was just thinking, subhanAllah, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell these people, tell these kuffar, these mushrikeen, these people who do not believe in me. And we can put the same, we can present the same thing to the atheists of today, those who say we don't believe in a God. We don't believe in a God, or agnosticism, I'm not sure if there's a God, or even more, there's something called apatheism. Apatheism, this is the worst. Has anyone heard of apatheism? Apatheism is when you say, I don't even care if there's a God or not. I'm not bothered, I don't have time. Atheism is when someone says, I don't believe there's a God. Agnosticism is when someone says, there may be a God, there may not be, I'm not sure. Some may say atheism falls in the same category. And apatheism, it says, I don't care if there's a God or not. I'm happy the way I'm living my life. So these people, they believe that we're okay without God. We're okay without a creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell these people, مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي. My Lord, my Allah does not need you people. My Allah does not need you people. Allah would have destroyed you a long time ago. لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. If only you didn't do dua to Allah. About who? Those who don't believe in Allah. Allah is saying, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, the punishment of Allah would have come upon you a long time ago had it not been for your dua. So the question is, how does a non-Muslim do dua? A non-Muslim doesn't do dua. A non-Muslim will tell you, I never do dua to Allah. Rather, he will, to show his audacity, he might even say something against Allah or negative against Allah to show, I don't care for your Allah. I don't care for your God. I don't believe in a God. And sometimes you hear people who don't believe in God and they're trying to prove that I really don't care about a God. They say these things. Sometimes they even swear at Allah and they say these things because they feel that they have the power, the audacity. Nobody's going to do anything to them. But Allah is saying, if these people didn't do dua to me, I would have destroyed them a long time ago. So the ulama explain, what does it mean by their dua? It means that their weakness and their submissiveness and their feebleness inside of this world. Every single person is like a child in front of Allah. We're so weak. We need, you know, on a daily basis, the human heart beats 100,000 times. On a daily basis, the human heart beats 100,000 times. Any of those heartbeats could be our last. But Allah Ta'ala is the one who allows each heartbeat to follow with another heartbeat. Allah knows that if I do not look after this being, it's finished. So because we are so weak, Allah's mercy overcomes His anger. That He's so weak, His mercy overcomes it, so Allah Ta'ala doesn't punish the person. You can go against Allah, you can say so many things, you can live your life totally. Allah says, go this way, you can go that way. Allah says, do this, you'll say, I don't want to do this. But because you're still so weak in front of Allah, you're calling out to Allah with your weakness, Allah's mercy will still overcome you. So I thought, subhanAllah, look, this is Allah's rahmah. People sometimes say, well, this person doesn't believe in Allah, what's happened to him? MashaAllah, he's a millionaire. He's living a beautiful life, he's got a very expensive house, an expensive car. He's still so weak in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah's mercy will overcome. So my dear respected brethren and elders, I went from one topic to another. What I was mentioning is that we as human beings need, Allah Ta'ala wants us to bring into our lives some of His attributes, or even a part of His attributes. Allah is Rahim, Allah has mercy. Allah wants us to be merciful. Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is forgiving. Ghaffar, the most forgiving. Allah wants us to be forgiving. And one of the things Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wishes for us to create inside of our hearts is muhabba for each other, love for each other. And you know, day by day we see this is dying out. When people love each other, it's unfortunately a time has come now where it's all formality, it's fake. Fake muhabbat, there's no true muhabbat. And remember, true muhabbat is very difficult. What is natural muhabbat, natural love? A father has natural love for his son, for his daughter. Husband has natural love for wife, most of the time. Wife has natural love for the husband as well, till it dies out. So we have this natural love. But there's another love which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves more than this natural love. This is the love a person creates in their heart only for the sake of Allah. And what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about this love? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be pulpits. This is a pulpit, a minbar. There will be minbars made of noor. There will be pulpits set up on the plain of the day of Qiyamah, made of noor, light. And who will be sitting on those minbars? The prophets, the shuhada? No. They will have their maqam anyway, they will have their status. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Al-Mutahabuna bijalali. In this dunya, those people who loved each other just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will set members of nur on the day of Qiyamah for them, and they will sit upon them. Yaghbituhumun nabiyyuna wa shuhada. The anbiya alayhimus salam and the shuhada will look up to these people. That subhanallah, what did he do to get to this place? On the day of judgment, Allah is making him sit on a minbar of noor. What did he do? In the dunya, when he loved someone, he loved them only for the sake of Allah. No other reason. Sayyidina Abu Idris al-Khawlani, rahmatullahi alayhi, was a tabi'i. Tabi'i is someone who has saw the sahaba, who stayed in the company in the presence of the sahaba, radiallahu anhum. So Abu Idris al-Khawlani, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, I came into the grand masjid of Damascus, and I saw a man, a beautiful, very handsome man, a very young man. And he had a beautiful smile, barraqu thanaya. His teeth were glowing, were glittering. His smile was so white and beautiful. And everybody was around him. And I heard him saying, I heard this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I heard this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, so I asked people, who is this man? They said, this is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. This man is Sayyiduna Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. So he said, I went and I sat in his company and I fell in love with this man. Such an amazing man, a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, I stayed with him the whole day. Says next day, he said, Hajjartu ila al-masjid. I went to the masjid very quickly in the morning, just so I could be with this man. Early in the morning. And he said, I found that he'd already, sabaqatni, he'd already beaten me. He was already there, very, very early in the morning. A sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, always, you know, spending their time in the masjid. So he says, I came into his company and he was reading, performing salah, so I waited for him to finish. He said, after he finished, I came in front of him and I said, Ya Mu'adh, uhibbuka fillah. So, O Mu'adh, I love you for the sake of Allah. This sahih hadith, authentic hadith. So this tabi'i, Abu Idris al-Khawlani, he was a great scholar in and of himself, in his own right. He says, I said to Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, uhibbuka fillah, I love you for the sake of Allah. He says, when Mu'adh radiallahu anhu heard me say this, he said, Afillahi, O Allah, do you love me only for the sake of Allah? Think into your intention, look at yourself, think into your mind. If you love me, is it because I've helped you in something else? Is it because we have some family tie? Is it because we're related one way or the other? When a person loves someone, sometimes there are other reasons why you love someone. He says, is it only for the sake of Allah that you love me? He says, yes, I love you for the sake of Allah. He asked him again, is it only for the sake of Allah? He says, yes, it's only for the sake of Allah. Sayyidina, he says, Abu Idris al-Khawlani says, Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he took my collar and he pulled me close to him. And he says, bear witness. He says, abshir, glad tidings be to you. Khush khabri, matlab, he's telling him, you know, glad tidings. And he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, that on the day of judgment, on the day of Qiyamah, the closest people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be those al-mutahabbuna fiyya wal-mutajalisina fiyya wal-mutazawirina fiyya wal-mutabadhilina fiyya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say on the day of judgment, on the day of Qiyamah, ayna al-mutahabbina fiyya? Where are those people who in the dunya used to love each other only for my sake? وَالْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيهِ, who used to sit with each other only for my sake, no other reason. وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيهِ, they used to visit each other, do mulaqat with each other only for my sake. وَالْمُتَبَاذِلِينَ فِيهِ, they used to spend from their money on each other only for my sake. Where are those people? And then Allah Ta'ala will set up the members of Noor and Allah will seat those people on these members. So this is such an important quality. Day by day, unfortunately, it's leaving our hearts. Many times this muhabbat, and we say, you know what, as a Muslim, I have to smile, I have to be nice. But in my heart, you know, I don't. And then as soon as the person goes, I start talking bad about that person. The heart has to be clean, very, very clean. Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when he describes the Muslims, what does he say? Muhammadur Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. That one of the qualities of the Muslims is أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. those people who do not believe in Allah, those people who break the laws of Allah, transgress against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are very strict against them, very harsh against them. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ But amongst themselves as Muslims, they are extremely loving and extremely affectionate to each other. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ That when you have to deal with the Muslims, then lower your wing, become very, very soft. Doesn't matter what the person in front of you has done or has said or the way they are behaving, your job is to lower yourself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, ثَلَاثَةٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ إِلَى الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُخْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, we need to all ponder upon this hadith. ثَلَاثَةٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ There are three qualities. If they come into a person, he will truly taste the reality of iman. Teen sifat aisi hai ki agar insaan ke andar aa jaye to wo iman ki lazzat ko chakh sakega, iman ki halawat ko chakh sakega. And what are those three qualities? The first one, an yakun Allah wa rasuluhu ahabba ilayhi mimma siwahuma. That Allah and his rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam become more beloved to you than anybody else. That's the first quality, and that's a very hard quality to bring in. We can say it with our mouth, but it takes time. We need to really ponder. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar, do you love me more than yourself? So Umar radiallahu anhu had to really sit and think. Because Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasul, I love you more than my family. This is a hard step for us to take. I love you more than my family. Because you need to really think. You can't lip service and just say with your mouth and in your heart you think something else. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Umar, you cannot be a true mu'min until you love me more than yourself. So Umar radiallahu anhu is sitting there thinking, do I love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than myself? And this is what the Sahaba would do. They wouldn't just say something. They would really sit there and think, am I that person? And he thought for a long while. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, I am sure I love you more than myself. So this is, you know, a person needs to get to that stage, to that level. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the first quality through which a person will taste the reality of iman is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam are more beloved to you than yourself. And the second quality, this is what I want you to get to. وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ That he loves a person, that you love a person, and you love them only for the sake of Allah. Only. لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ There is no other maqsad. There is no other reason. There is no faida. I like Sajid Bhai because Sajid Bhai always feeds me takeaway. I like Sajid Bhai because Sajid Bhai is very generous. He always brings me some takeaway. So Sajid Bhai is my Muslim brother, but I know that So we always have this faida. But the reality is when a person loves someone, there is no faida, there is no benefit they're getting from them. You just love them because for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when a person truly achieves this rank and truly achieves the reality of iman. What time do I finish? 45. So this is why, my dear respected brothers and elders, is so important. You know, we work on this quality. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu once, Anas was a young child. So he said, O Anas, ya bunayya, O my beloved son. Anas was not his son, but this is how Rasulullah's muhabba, his affection. He says, ya bunayya, in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsi. O my beloved son, if you have the power, if you have the ability to wake up in the morning and to go to sleep at night, walaysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin fafal. He said, O my dear son, if you have the ability to wake up in the morning and go to sleep at night, and in your heart you have no enmity, no hatred, no nafrat, no bughs for anybody in your heart, then do that. You wake up in the morning and your heart is clean. You go to sleep at night and your heart is clean. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains, why? Because, ya bunayya inna dhalika min sunnati. Oh my dear Anas, this is my sunnat. This is how I live my life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I wake up in the morning, my heart is clean from the people. There was sometime Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he came out, he was upset. He came out in front of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and he was upset. And he said, some of you come and say things about each other to me. Some of you come and complain about this person, complain about that person. And when I come and sit in front of that person, it affects me. If somebody comes and says bad about Sajid Bhai in my ear, then when I come in front of Sajid Bhai, it might affect the way that I am treating him, dealing with him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset and he said, don't come and say anything about anyone to me. Because I want that when I come out in front of my companions, in front of my friends, my heart is clean. So this is why, my dear respected elders, we need to really work on this. And subhanAllah, the virtues I just mentioned, some of the virtues, and all of these hadith are sahih. To the extent that one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, a famous hadith, on the day of Qiyamah, when everybody will be in such difficulty and such hardship, and the sun will be just, you know, qaba qawsayn, two bows length above the heads above our heads, and people will be drowning in their own sweat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, only seven types of people will be saved from this, will be in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh. And he says one of them is رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ, two people who used to love each other only for the sake of Allah. اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ, they would only meet each other for the sake of Allah. وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ, they would only leave each other's company for the sake of Allah. So we need to really, this is why when we listen to a hadith, or we look at a hadith, or we listen to a Quran ayat, we don't just pass by. You know, we're just passing by. Rather we think, is this sifat, is this quality in my life? If it's not in my life, I need to make an effort from now. I need to make a firm intention from now. How to bring this quality into my life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the ability to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who love each other for the sake of Allah. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, bihamdi, kashalallah, astaghfirullah, tawbih.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
Shri Kuchalanathe, last Friday, the collection that was raised was £1,490. So £1,490. Allah Ta'ala tamam saatiyon ki donations ko qabool farmaye. Allah har ek pareshaniyon ko door farmaye. Aur Haji Mehdi Khan sahab ke liye bhi khususi dua ki darkhwast ki gayi hai. Woh hospital mein hai, bahut bimar hai. Allah Ta'ala unko shifa ajla daima mustamira naseeb farmaye. Jald az jald unko shifa naseeb farmaye. Just very quickly, certain brothers have been asking me to give a feedback of what's happening in the madrasa upstairs. I don't normally like talking in a way where it seems that I'm trying to promote anything or any work that I've done. Because at the end of the day, anyone that does any khidmat or any service, Allah Ta'ala makes them do it. It's only for the sake of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And if Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and it's only through the rahmah and the sheer mercy and grace of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, anything that we do, any action that we achieve or accomplish, is because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, knowing our faults, knowing our weaknesses, still gives us the ability to do this. So in all of this, we just thank and praise Allah Ta'ala even more. So obviously, upstairs in the madrasa that is running, since I came here about 3.5 years ago, we at that moment in time we didn't have a HIFZ class set up. So recently, alhamdulillah, this year we started a HIFZ class, and we have about 16 to 17 students in that HIFZ class. Initially I was planning to limit it and keep it to few students, but because we had a lot of people coming from outside as well who wished for their children to do HIFZ, I think because in Ashton there's no other HIFZ class running in the entire Ashton. Some people have told me this, Allah knows best. So people were very eager and very happy to come and join. So we only put into the HIFZ class students who we feel can actually move forward, and students who are not going to disrupt the class, because it's something that has started after a long time again, and we wish for it to continue properly and smoothly, inshallah. So every day for 3 hours upstairs, we have a HIFZ class which runs. So that's about 15 hours a week. It's a very, very small time, very less time. It's still not enough. When we did HIFZ when we were younger, we spent the whole day doing HIFZ. And that's how it should be, really. And if you look at the way the pious predecessors did it, they would spend the beginning of their life for 1 or 2 years in HIFZ, and then they would move on. Because we have school to consider, and we have to consider that children's attention span is much more weaker and much more limited. Hence, these 3 hours is a good beginning, inshallah. And we ask that you do dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to continue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this town, Allah ta'ala fills this town with His barakat, with His blessings, with His rahmat, with His maghfirat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates inside of this town people who are His awliya, from His awliya, from His saints, and people who will take the Muslims forward into a good future. And a good foreseeable future, inshallah. The thing is, we all have to understand what time we live in and what day and age we live in, and day by day the fitnas and the problems and the issues are getting worse, and we have to deal with this. We talk to young people and we're just aware of what is happening out there. So day by day these things are going to get worse. So if now we do not work on our young generation and our children and our grandchildren, then in the future it'll be very difficult for people to be strong upon their deen, upon their iman, and for people to positively and happily say, "Yeah, I am a Muslim and I am happy." We have to understand that the day of Qiyamah will come, and closer to the day of Qiyamah, the signs of Qiyamah will start. And from the signs of Qiyamah, one of the signs Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, a time will come when a person will say, there will be very few people who will believe in Allah. You will only find one old man, one old woman who will be saying La ilaha illallah, and they will not practice upon anything of Islam. All they will say is La ilaha illallah. Nobody else will believe in Allah. So we have to understand that this time will come, the zamana will get worse, the times will get worse. So we need to make a strong effort and stop thinking, oh, it's all about the education, it's all about putting them in the institutionalized systems of college, of university, and then onwards. Let them remember, this is where a lot of children lose their iman there. A lot of youth lose their iman there. A lot of youth fall into objections and crises of faith in those places. Those who went to university 20, 30 years ago, it's not the same as it is today. Now, those who are not before, okay, maybe if someone did a course on philosophy or a course on, I don't know, theology or something, they have questions about faith. Now, it doesn't matter what course you study, this agenda that why do we need to believe in a God, this atheistic agenda, this modernistic agenda, this liberalist agenda is being pushed from every angle. They could do a course in, I don't know, geography, or a course in politics. They will still be exposed to all of these things which can shatter the foundations of their iman, the foundations of their faith. And we deal with this on a daily basis. Because when youngsters come to us, they don't say we're leaving Islam or we're doubting Islam. They ask us a loaded question. In a way we understand that he's actually got doubts about his faith. So it's very difficult for us to just answer that question. You need to work from the foundations, from the roots. And this is why, alhamdulillah, we also have these courses that we've set up. And I always emphasize and I push, and sometimes people may think, oh, maybe he's, because he started his courses and it's, he thinks it's, I don't know, he's trying to recruit students. No, it's for the preservation and the safety and the security of the iman of our children, the iman of the youth of our future, the Muslims of our future. That's why we started these courses. So please, inshallah, if anything I am saying is registering with you, then please have a word with me, understand what we're doing, and if you wish to get involved yourself, if you wish for your children to get involved, please have a word with us, come forward. We want people to come forward. We don't want to feel like we're doing something and the people are not bothered. People are happy with their lives of obliviousness and inattention and carelessness. I'm telling you, some of your children, I look at your faces and some of your children are saying to me, oh, I thought it was okay for a man and woman to have intercourse before marriage. Some of your children are saying this to me at 14, 15, 16 years old. Some of your children are saying to me, we thought Prophet ﷺ was born in Pakistan. You might find this really strange, but they're saying this to us. And we have to deal with this, and every single time we're thinking to ourselves, where is the mehnat from home? Where's the effort from home? Where's the concern of the parents? Parents are happy. And these parents are the first ones to come and say, oh, my child's done enough. My child's done enough, he can go. Your child is nowhere near done enough. So we really need to attach our children to these programs and these classes and to the masjid and to the ulama so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that there's a chance for them to survive in the future and for Islam to flourish in the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq. شروع کر دیتے ہیں خطبہ
اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق كل شيء فأحسن خلقه وترتيبه وأدب نبيه محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم فأحسن تأديبه وزكى أوصافه وأخلاقه فاتخذ صفيه وحبيبه ووفق للاقتداء به من أراد تهذيبه وحرم عن التخلق بأخلاقه من أراد تخيبه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله الذي بعث ليتمم مكارم الأخلاق صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هذبوا أهل الأقطار والآفاق أما بعد فهذه جملة يسيرة من حسن معاشرته صلى الله عليه وسلم ليتقتفي به أمته وتحوز النعم فكان صلى الله عليه وسلم أحسن الناس وأجود الناس وأشجع الناس وما ضرب عليه الصلاة والسلام شيئا قط بيده ولا امرأة ولا خادما إلا أن يجاهد في سبيل الله ولم يكن عليه الصلاة والسلام فاحشا ولا متفحشا ولا سخابا في الأسواق ولا يجزي بالسيئة السيئة ولكن يعفو ويصفح أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم وفق ولاة المسلمين لما تحب وترضاه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون Please straighten the rows for Salah, so for the rows can you go? خالی جگہوں کو پور فرما دیجئے Then in gaps in front of you, just walk forward and fill them up, inshallah. Ensure that mobile phones are also switched off. Are we okay to start? Shuru kar de. Bismillah.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Allahu akbar. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. Tabarakta ya al-jalal wal ikram. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد بعدد كل معلوم لك اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا سميع الدعاء يا مجيب قريب برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجت ولا دينا إلا قضيت ولا كربا إلا نفست ولا دعاء إلا أجبت ولا مريضا إلا شفيت ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى واجعلنا من عبادك الراشدين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ومن عذاب النار ومن فتنة المحيا والممات ومن فتنة المسيح الدجال اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصر المستضعفين من المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.